Psalm 119, and I'll read you the first verse, Psalm 119 and verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord, who walk in the law of the Lord. And as we've been looking at the Psalms last week, we saw the tremendous benefits and importance of praying, of the Lord hearing our voice in the morning and hearing it in prayer. And we saw that Psalms inspires us to pray more effectively. I noted that Matthew Henry, the commentator, reminds us that Psalms serves as a God-given help of the Holy Spirit who helps us in our weakness in prayer. It's a God-given means. When we do not know what to pray or how to pray or even how to approach God, the Psalms give us wisdom and instruction. They give us holy thoughts. They give us words. They give us petitions. They give us confessions. They give us praises. And they give us cries for mercy. It's an inspired book. And the Holy Spirit uses this book to shape and reform our personal prayer lives, teaching us to pray more effectively in accordance with God's word and in a manner which honors him. And it's a valuable book. And it's some of the books of the Bible you read once and it's a long time till you return to it. But Psalms is a book that we return to over and over many times in our personal devotions. And so as we come to Psalm 119, we notice in verse 11, very well known, "Thy word I have hid in mine heart, that I may not sin against you." And what does it mean to hide God's word in our heart? It involves memorizing. There's such a value in memorizing the Psalms, a value in memorizing God's word. And the way which it has been said so many times, the word, the best thing I have hid in my heart. And the heart is the best place to put the word. And it's put there for the best purposes, that I may not sin against thee. So to hide the word in our heart, it involves storing up the word in our heart. One of the root words is hoard. I hoard the word in my heart. So to memorize with purpose. And the purpose is to make God's word a living reality in my life. God's instruction dwelling in me, directing all my footsteps, directing my ways. And when I do that, I will have stability in my life and I will have godly direction. Now, before we, our subject, of course, is from the theme of the whole psalm, the Word of God, the blessedness of the Word of God. And if we were to give a subject to today's message, it would be God's Word, a lamp unto our feet. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. So how much of God's Word do we hide in our hearts? How much do we store up? How much do we memorize? Well, actually, it's really more than memorizing scripture and being able to recall it. It's really laying it up in our hearts with a view to place our confidence in it, to place our faith in it. We delight in Scripture. We treasure and we value the Word. There must be love and respect for God's Word. We must have a determined purpose that we have decided that the Word of God is the final authority in my life. And the Word's going to lead me and guide me and show me the paths. And I must have hope and confidence in it. I must say, like David said in 140, verse 140, "Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loves it." So then when there's this love for the Word, when there's this respect and honor for the Word that's stored up in our heart, it will be like a treasure chest. It will come to mind when we face difficulties. Faith will arise and we will draw from that Word strength and comfort. That which we've hidden in our hearts will sustain us, and it will be the means through which help comes. And this help when we need it most. So let's be ones who lay up God's Word in our souls by memorizing Scripture. Laying up God's Word in our lives makes us like trees planted by the river that bear forth fruit in season, that yield fruit in season. And also the Word flows through us. When we store the Word up in abundance in our hearts, we always have something to speak to others. And as a parent, we should encourage our children. If we don't have children, we should encourage our grandchildren to memorize the Scriptures, to memorize Psalms. Psalms are especially helpful. And do you know that it will be something of value for the rest of your life? So now as we come to the longest psalm, Psalm 119, it has 176 verses, and it's been described as laying open the very heart of true lived-out Christianity. It shows the inner character of God's people. It has 22 sections, and the old writers would say it that it's like a string of pearls, each connected by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, reflecting many stages of Christian life, many struggles in Christian life, and the psalm addresses them all. It's a psalm that is a song of joy, celebrating the Word of God. And this Word of God that it's celebrating is honored and referred to under 10 different names, under 10 distinct designations for God's Word. Let me give them to you. The law, the sayings, the statutes, the way, the commandments, the path, the testimonies, the precepts, and the judgments. All of these are God's Word. And in the psalm, this is how it is referred to. And many through the ages have loved the psalm, truly loved it. It was Martin Luther treasured this psalm so much that it was said of him that he would not trade even a single page of the psalm for the whole world. The first eight opening verses focus on the great joy, on the great blessedness that come to our lives by walking in God's way and obeying His precepts. The tone is devotional. It is inspiring. It inspires fellowship and sincere devotion. It inspires prayer. It's not just cold instruction. It's the words, as one of the old writers says, are like warm sunlight filtering through the trees, moving our hearts to holiness. The warmth of God helping us express our own desire for God. And we are again reminded of the importance of Bible reading, the great value of the Word of God. We saw last week the great importance of prayer. And next to prayer, nothing is more important in the Christian life than reading the Bible. God has graciously given us a book, the Bible, that is able to make us wise. Wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's 2 Timothy 3:15. So through the scripture, we learn how we should live. We learn to do what God has called us to do. It teaches us how to walk. It teaches us comfort and shows us comfort, how to walk in comfort in this life. And it teaches us how to face death with peace. Blessed is the person who owns a Bible. But even more blessed than just owning a Bible is one who actually reads it. But even more blessed is the believer who reads it and obeys it. Who obeys it. Blessed are the undefiled. This is what the opening verse says. Blessed are the undefiled. That means the blameless, the wholesome in the way. David is so captivated. He is so impressed by the word of God that he sees it as true blessedness. He wants to be shaped and conformed by it. He wants it to conform his life. He exclaims, blessed is the one whose life reflects the will of God. God's word is so just so warm to us. It's never cold. It's never mechanical. It stirs the heart. Have you been reading the word in the morning? You may be feeling discouraged. And the word stirs your heart. And some joy comes. Some comfort comes. And it leads us to deep joy and thankfulness and praise. To us, God's law is not just the wise and the proper thing to do. It's not the thing that we feel only compelled, that we must obey God's word. We truly love God's word. We admire God's word. And it was David's greatest longing to be a blameless and an undefiled person. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of God. And this was David's aim in life. This was David's greatest joy, to be made perfectly holy. And every one of us who says that we are the Lord's should ask ourselves this same question. What is our way? What is the way of my heart with God? Is my heart truly undefiled? Do I sometimes allow iniquity to settle in my heart? And when that happens, do I grieve over and hate that iniquity? Do I forsake everything that God hates? Or is it my practice to excuse myself and never resist the things that I know that the scripture says are wrong? And these are searching questions that all believers must ask themselves. So the one who longs to be like the Lord prays with the psalmist, is praying with David. And what does David say? He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me and test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. So that should be the prayer of every believer. We desire to be conformed into his image. And the more that we admire God's word, his perfect standard, it will create within us a desire to be shaped by it in our everyday life. We all know it's a blessing to hear the teaching of the word. It's a blessing to understand the word when we read it personally. But even a greater blessing is to obey the word, to be a doer of the word. But not just to obey it, to continue to obey it. And to walk in purity, and to continue to walk in purity. And this is the truest and the highest form of blessedness. The believer not only delights in God's word, and when we delight in God's word, we live in this true blessing, the true blessing of the Lord. Now, to be one of these blessed ones, we need to note in this psalm, there are many I am. And in Psalm 119, we only have time to look at a few of them. I can't go through verse by verse. It would need several sessions. And in Psalm 119, I am, the words I am. Let me point you to the first one that we can look at in verse 19. So this searching question that is asked in verse 19, am I a stranger in this earth? Am I a pilgrim in this earth? Verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. So David is the blessed person that he realizes that there's nothing on earth that can satisfy him. Nothing on earth that can meet the needs of the man of God. He has no confidence in anything of this world. He finds no rest in the things of this world. His hope is in a better country, an eternal country. He's looking above. He's not looking down. And it's the same for us. To be a Christian, this world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, we live here, but we belong to another country. We belong to another kingdom. We have another king. And David says, we are strangers on this earth. And this confession of David's, it carries even more weight coming from somebody like David. Because David's a man who is surrounded by privilege. Every earthly enjoyment available is available to David. Everything you can imagine, David can put his hands on. Every earthly privilege. And his words show us the complete vanity of even the earth's very best joys. So David says, I'm a stranger to the things of this earth. God's people are drawn not towards things of this world. God's people are drawn heavenward. They look above to find fulfillment and joy. And it's the word of God that provides all we need. It's the word of God that is a God and a companion and cheers our way. And when we roam, Proverbs 6 and verse 22. When we roam, the commandments will lead us. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will lead you. So David is saying there's nothing of this earth that can do that. It's the commandments of the Lord that do that. And they're the most suitable for the pilgrim's prayer. Hide not thy commandments from me. Knowing and depending upon the word of God supplies light when our path is dark. And we all face dark paths. And we need light. And knowing and depending on the word of God is what brings light, brings joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength when our souls are weak. It's a spiritual food that we need when we are hungry. It's the armor to fight the good fight of faith. And everything needed for our journey home to God is provided in the Word of God. It's the connection we have to the vine. This union with Him is the only source of spiritual life. We are quickened first. We are made alive in Him. And then, only then can we walk in Him and after Him. Let me give you another I Am, and it's found in verse 63. Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of them that fear thee. I am a companion of them that fear thee. And we are strangers in a foreign land. And when we are strangers in a foreign land, when we see someone who has come from the same country, we gravitate towards them. And those that love the Lord's service will naturally be drawn to them. And we will want to associate with one another. We are kindred spirits with those who fear the Lord and keep His ways. We love the same Father. Surely, those who are going to be our companions for eternity should be our choice companions now on earth. And it shouldn't be that I take more pleasure and give more time to meeting and having fellowship with people that are not even saved. Even if they are educated, even if they are refined people, ought there not to be restraint? Should I not consider, surely the fear of the Lord is not in this place? We must ask ourselves honestly, has today's company strengthened my soul? Has it lifted my heart towards spiritual things? Has it helped me to be watchful and prayerful? Or has it cooled and quenched my fellowship with God? Am I jealous that they have so much and I want to have what they have? Has it cooled me? When we greet other believers with mere outward courtesy, without true unity of heart, it's really a sign that we are in a low and an unspiritual walk. Because real fellowship with God is walking in the light. And when we, the believers, walk in the light, we have true fellowship one with another. It naturally flows. And David said in verse 63, I am a companion of all who fear you and those who keep your precepts. Those are the best companions. And I'll give you one more. David says in verse 107, he says, I am afflicted. I am afflicted. Quicken me. quicken me, revive me. He suffered, David suffered, the Lord suffered, that he might strengthen them that are tempted. The Lord suffered that he might strengthen them that are tempted. Hebrews 2:18. So this is our high privilege, that we are permitted to come to our Lord, and as the old writers puts it, I just copied it, pour our trouble into the ear of the one who is able to sympathize with us in all our difficulties. We have a Lord that has faced everything that we will ever face. He knows how to sympathize with us. He knows how to succor us and encourage us and help us, because he suffered everything that we will ever face. He knows our frame. He knows exactly how we are made. Divine quickening comes from him. He is the remedy for a sorrowing and a sinking soul. If your soul is sorrowing and sinking, the word of God will lift you. The affliction may be very hard. It may be very heavy. But when Christ quickens with abundant life, the believer will gain strength. Strength to overcome. Our weary hearts are revived by his promises. He empowers us by his Spirit in our weakness. He is our strength. His word ignites our faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Oh, his word ignites our faith. Now, even if I look back on all the trials that I've faced, all the sorrow that I have faced, although they were difficult, although they were very hard, I rejoice that he quickened me and he shaped me and he strengthened me in my walk, and he continued working in me, making me more and more like him. That's what David wanted. He wanted to be like the Lord. He wanted to be this blameless one, walking in the precepts of the Lord. Isn't that what we want? Oh, when we look back and see that sometimes the trials, we are lively stones, living stones, being built into a holy habitation. And sometimes we have things that have to be hammered off. And when they are hammered off, it's very painful, very difficult. But we become a stone that fits exactly where the Lord has placed us. So, although there are trials, God is not doing it to punish us. He's shaping us. He's making us more and more like him. There are still more things, many more I ams, but we don't have time to go through them. We come to another group of words now, and we can read the first one in verse 7. I will. The I wills of Psalm 119. I will praise thee. I will praise thee. I will give thanks to thee with uprightness of heart, with the right heart and the right mind. I will give praise. I will. I will. And then we see another one in verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. I will meditate. His words are so deep. They are so sweet to the obedient heart. It said in the scripture, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And the result was joy and rejoicing. I don't want to spend a long time on each of these, but we see in verse 62, I will give thanks at midnight. I will give thanks at midnight. And what we have to realize is that even in our midnight hours, Instead of complaining, we give thanks. David said, I will give thanks. Think of Paul and Silas in prison, beaten, bleeding, in the stocks, chained. They gave thanks at midnight and they sang hymns unto the Lord. And an earthquake came and shook the prison. And the prison doors opened and their chains fell off. Oh, in our midnight hour, let us do as David said, I will give thanks at midnight. But the one that I want to look at in more depth is verse 93. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts. I will never forget, no, never. Thy words have brought light into my life, substance into my soul. They are spirit and they are life. I'll never forget them. Why will I never forget them? Because I will never forget thee, O Lord. This is a wise and a godly resolution that David has here. The blessing and the quickening through his word in a time of affliction and difficulty. And now the psalmist has already spoken of the power of God's word when he said, your word has quickened me. But now he's speaking more clearly. He's speaking of the word of God as an instrument, not the source of life. It is the power, or let me say it like this. If the power was just in hearing the word, and automatically, we would never complain and grieve and lament that people don't respond to the gospel. We would never lament that people don't change their lives. We would never lament that people don't seem to respond to God's word. So many hear God's word without any blessing coming to their life. God's word does not originate, or God's grace, not God's word, grace does not originate from the means. It comes through the means. And the means is the word. God himself is the fountain of life. God is a spiritual fountain. His word is the channel that he uses. His word is so sharp. His word is so tender. His word is so compelling. And we may ask, well, what heart can resist that word? But still, the word does nothing without the Holy Spirit. The precepts of God are the ordinary or the normal path that God uses to awaken and renew and strengthen his people. He quickens whom he will by the means. The means is his word. So not only does the psalm encourage us to say, like David said, I will. Follow David's example. We see that David says something else, and there are many of these in Psalm 119. I have. The I haves of Psalm 119. And the first one we see is in verse 10. I have sought thee with my whole heart. I have sought thee with my whole heart. And this is the right thing to do. And we seek God in the right manner. And the right manner is to do it wholeheartedly. Seek God with the whole heart. Pay attention to his word with the whole heart. Paying attention to God's word is essential. It will never be effective in our lives without heartfelt prayer, without wholehearted prayer. We lose so much of Christian comfort. We lose so much of our Christian witness It becomes so dim. It becomes so dry when we don't seek God with a whole heart. When we, when sin and temptation feels strong, when our spiritual affections are dull, when all these many things make prayer difficult, this is the moment we need strong faith. This is when we need strong faith. And this is the kind of faith that pushes through and keeps on praying. But far too often the soul gives up. It gives up at this point. Instead of persevering, we settle for a half-hearted and a quick and a shallow prayer, just enough to quieten our conscience. And sometimes this may bring a false sense of peace, but it's not true communion with God. David could say, "With my whole heart, Lord, with my whole heart, I have sought thee." He wasn't saying this in pride. He wasn't boasting that he sought the Lord wholeheartedly. He was acknowledging his total dependence upon God. Genuine faith always shows itself in heartfelt and wholehearted prayer. So the believer says, "My God, my Savior, I have sought you with my whole heart." You see, if you want to be blessed, you must have this: I have sought you with my whole heart. And with my whole, with the desire of my soul is for your name. I remember you, Lord. I long for you in the night. With all that is in me, O Lord, I seek you earnestly. And then finally, in closing, we are going to look at the very last verse of Psalm 119, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. You know, a lost sheep can do nothing but go astray and wander from the shepherd. Think of what we are wandering from. Think of what we are going astray to. Think of what we are leaving. We are leaving the words of life. Think of all the awful things that we can wander to. And this is the reason why we always pray and ask for the help in God's word. His light and commandments give us firm principles that keep us from straying. And this is the very, this is a humbling thought, And we have to say that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. It's not only the real bad sinners. A humbling thought to think that even a Christian can go astray. Even a Christian can be like a sheep that has gone astray. And it's not only the world that are wanderers. Even a true believer can wander. But even true believers, if they are honest, must admit they have at times in their lives gone astray. And maybe it's not open wandering, but we still need to pray as David prayed, "Cleanse my heart, Lord, from secret faults. Cleanse my heart, Lord, from secret faults." Psalm 19 and verse 2. How often and how easy it is to be drawn aside by our wills, by our senses, by our appetites. even if our intentions are very, very sincere, we are far from perfect. All of us are far from perfect. A small yielding to the flesh, a slight compromise, can lead us further away than we ever expected. Watchfulness and constant humble dependence on the Lord alone keeps his sheep from wandering. It's almost surprising how this psalm ends. Throughout the psalm, David has been expressing such holy desires, such joy in God's salvation, such heartfelt praise. Now, this man of God, who is after God's own heart, David, one who was after God's own heart, he finishes by placing himself very low, deeply aware of his own weakness and his constant tendency to wander from God. And this is an important lesson for us. It shows us that the believer's spiritual conflict and battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil continues to the very end. It shows us that that humility that lives side by side with strong confidence. So we must be humble and admit that we can make a mistake, but yet we must have strong confidence in the Lord. It shows us that a heart can rise to the highest praise while confessing the deepest unworthiness. Our progress in our Christian walk will always have this mixture: praise and struggle, joy and repentance, until we finally reach our home and we will be with him forever, forever, where there's no longer anyone who wanders, where there's no longer any presence of temptation to cause us to wander. There's no pool of sin. There we will be safe in the light, where there is no darkness at all. So this is what David is saying. We are pilgrims, and how we need his precious word to guide us and lead us. Let us pray together. Teach us, O Lord. O Lord, teach us the way of your statutes, and we will keep them to the very end, O Lord. Grace us and strengthen us. We admit and confess to you that we wander and we don't want to wander. We want to walk and not go astray like a sheep. Keep us in your paths. Let your commandments guide us always. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.